God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Welcome to you, the listener. This is Pastor Larry. Let me encourage you to remember our If My People initiative. Use 2 Chronicles 7:14 as a prayer platform to pray for the presidential election in November. It is addressed to God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Should Christians be concerned about a presidential election, and should we pray for the right person to be elected to the highest office in the land? My answer, how could we not be concerned? The stakes are high. This is the most important presidential election we have ever had. President Trump is a friend of America. He wants to make America great again. He stands for life and believes in religious liberty for everyone in America, not just Christians. The other party believes in none of these critical items and takes a completely godless view. The DNC has made that very clear. Depending on who wins the election, things could get radically ugly. We should depend on God alone, no doubt. No mere man or woman can solve our problems. But shouldn't we support the candidate who would allow us to freely worship God? Can we, in good conscience before God, vote for the candidate who has made it very clear that his platform is contrary to godliness? Friends, if you've never heard Jonathan Cahn before or read his books, your first exposure will convince you why he is such a high-profile figure, and he really is. We are indebted to Jonathan Cahn. He has consented to do several programs with me, which means that you receive a blessing, and actually I do as well. It's always great to have Jonathan on. We've been visiting, chatting, talking, and Jonathan has been sharing his insights into the prophetic word. It's absolutely amazing. Jonathan Cahn is back with us. Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us once again.
It is an absolute joy, really, Larry. It's always a joy.
Well, I can just feel power, the power of the Spirit, the power of the Word. I know people are going to be really blessed by this because this is a breakthrough. Whenever we get insight into the Word of God and into what is happening, whenever we're warned by God's servant, and you are certainly his servant, great things are happening and great things are going to happen. I think God has anointed these programs in a wonderful, wonderful way. So, Jonathan, as we get into this program, give us a little recap of our previous show.
Yeah, well, we have been continuing, moving forward on the mystery that many of you read about. It was not finished. It was just it's the harbinger. It was the beginning, and that is the mystery of judgment. It has not stopped. It is unfolding. It is happening up to this day. You're going to see it very dramatically on this program, but we're watching how, first of all, in the harbinger, too, I always knew I was going to do it. There was going to be a sequel, but I could never just do it. God had to say, this is the time. Well, he said, as 2020 was approaching, this was the time. Now, so this is the unveiling of the harbinger, too, which reveals what I could not say back then. Most of it, I could not even put in the harbinger. Then what has happened since up to this day, and then what's happening now, and where are we going? So then we can only touch on some things, but you're going to see, I mean, God is amazing and he's on the throne, but we are in the middle of this mystery, and and where is it leading us?
Amen. Well, as we get into the show, what are some of the mysteries you've revealed so far, and what are you going to reveal this time, and tell us how they tie together?
Touched on, and again, I could just do a few of each thing. We touched on first what was an 9/11 that was the unrevealed, and that are things that are affecting us to this day, which talk about the beginning of a nation's judgment and where it goes in the time period. Then we had basically what has happened since, and so that goes all the way up. The last thing we spoke about the image, we spoke about the ninth of Tammuz, we spoke about that this the judgment tree that fell. All these signs that we're at a more, even more dangerous time because America's been falling away from God since 9/11. And that's following the mystery. That's following the template that Israel did. So even what's happening in the world is following it. God's still in control. But we are at an even more dangerous time now, and the harbingers have not stopped.
Well, let's talk about the shaking that's happening now in America. Is it part of the ancient mystery, and does the Harbinger 2 point out to it and tell us what's happening and where it's heading?
Yeah, well, when we started, I gave a little, just a little taste that it actually, if you look at the Harbinger, the first book, the chapter that says things to come, and you look, it actually talks about what will come. And if America doesn't turn back, the shakings, the biblical template is the shakings are going to resume. There's a window of time. The biblical template is first strike, warning, shaking. You have 9/11. You have it with, you have the same thing with the Northern Kingdom of Israel, same thing with the Southern Kingdom of Israel, same thing again. There's always this initial shaking, and then there's a period, a window of time. So we've had years now. Window of time to give the nation a chance to come back or head for judgment. And we have been so far, we have not been, so far we've been racing away from God. We're praying for revival. We'll talk about it, but we're racing away from God. So what happens is it means the shakings are going to resume again. And they're going to even come back stronger and more. And so I don't believe we're finished with the shakings right now. So here, if you look at that, you know, that chapter, Things to Come, it talks about how the shakings come. And there's a few different ways, a number of ways. And one of the things I said, and I'm taking it right from the book, right from the Harbinger, it speaks about economic collapse we're watching. It talks about disorder or division in the breakdown of infrastructure, breakdown of the nation, division of the nation. We're watching that too. Disorder, you know, with the civil disorder, we're watching that. Also, it talks about natural calamities and man-made calamities. Now, whatever you think of the pandemic, either way, you got that covered. So, and I believe there's more to come. So we're watching that. And then I mentioned at the very beginning that as I'm talking about the shakings, in that chapter, you can see it, it talks about the crown in America. Where crown is corona. And that is the shaking here, the pandemic. Now, something else. One of the reasons why the Harbinger 2 is coming out now, I knew, I always had a sense that, I mean, I prayed and just before the year, and that's when I got the confirmation, but I always had a sense that there was something about this year, 2020. Well, let me tell you a mystery here. And this is in the Harbinger 2. And that is that when you look, you know, in the Harbinger, and actually, it's even in the Harbinger 1 at the end, it says, you know, that Noriel asked the prophet, well, how long is it between the first shaking and then, you know, when the shakings continue, when you have the, you know, calamities and all that? Well, he gives the time, the biblical template of the Southern Kingdom. He first speaks about the Northern Kingdom, then he goes to the Southern Kingdom. The Southern Kingdom, the first attack took place in 605 B.C., Babylon. The great shaking and collapse came in 586 BC. That, how long is that? That is a period of 19 years. 19 years, the time of judgment. 19 years. 9/11 happened in the year 2001. Add 19 years. What year does it take you to? It takes you to 2020. 2020 is now when the shakings have resumed. 19 years. Year of judgment. And not only that, not only that, what is the name of this virus? What's the name of this pandemic? It's COVID what? 19. You know, and it's not that they named it after this, but it just bears the same thing. So there's so there's so much, but even the timing of where we are right now.
Wow. I mean, I'm just blown away, and I'm looking through the window at Marvin, and he's blown away too. This is absolutely fantastic. But listen, is there an ancient mystery behind the pandemic that's changed all of our lives? I think this is a major thing. What have you found?
Well, yes. Yeah. First of all, before I say anything, because it's going to be very heavy, everybody, sit down for this if you're standing. First thing is, I'm not saying, and I've never said that there's only one cause for any one event. There are many causes, natural and beyond natural. Secondly, it's not saying that when a judgment comes on a civilization, that doesn't mean that those who are affected within it, it means God is judging them. Just like the prophets were affected by the things. I mean, you know, continuously, Abraham Lincoln, Civil War, he talks about a judgment of God, but it doesn't mean it's talking about a whole civilization. So here's the thing. Number one, does God use pandemics or plagues? He certainly does. You can't read the Bible and miss that. Very clearly, he allows it. Very clearly. Secondly, this has happened to the world, but it's also come specifically on America, notice, with other things too on America. So here's the thing. Is there anything that this generation is unique about regarding God? Well, one is this generation. When I say generation, I'm talking about everybody alive right now. And that is we have witnessed the most massive turning away from God, not only in America but in the West, ever in the history of the world, overturning marriage, overturning everything. On top of that, there's a particular sin that invokes judgment, and that is the sin that has to do with little children. We have, you know, in ancient Israel, killed its little children. And Jeremiah said, judgment's coming on you for that. You know, there are other reasons, but that's the key one that put it all together. And so this generation, You know, America has killed over 60 million babies. The world has killed over a billion children. Okay, so that's the first thing. Secondly, Jeremiah says that one of the judgments that will come for what you've done to the children, he uses the word plague, and he uses the word pestilence. So here, now think about this too. Here's another thing. What is the sin of abortion? And back then it was child sacrifice. It's, you know, same spirit. What is the sin? It's the sin of the older against the youngest or the younger. Well, so you got, now we have a plague that particularly strikes the oldest and more so spares the young. More than anything, it overwhelmingly focuses on the old. Now, we're living at the generation which has legalized abortion. We're coming to the end. Those who did 50 years ago, those who did are now at the end. So this is the end of an era. So it all comes at this moment with this particular thing. Now, let's go further. What nation has killed more, you know, more in abortion than it? Well, it's China. Where did this begin? China. What nation has led most of the world, though, into abortion? America. What nation kills its children at the latest stages of pregnancy, unlike the rest of the world? America does. We have killed more children than most nations, and we've done it. We've led the world, and we are more accountable. So you got America. Now, in America, what is the central place of abortion? It is New York. New York. New York has killed more children than any other place in America. New York spearheaded abortion to America. Actually, in 1970, that's when it started. It was New York that championed abortion on demand throughout America. Not only that, but where in America have more children been killed? New York City. New York City is the capital of abortion in America, and the leader. Where did this plague come? It came to America, focused on New York, and focused on New York City. More people have been killed by this plague in New York City than any other place in America, by far. By far, to this day. And so you have all this coming home. Jeremiah said, in the same place where they killed the children, their own lives are going to be required. So all of a sudden, New York becomes the place of the plague, becomes the world capital of the plague of death. And remember what we said before? Remember what that image was over New York City? It was the image of the god of death and destruction on the Empire State Building. And what was it? And when this happened, it turned blood red. Now they lit up during the plague. They lit it up blood red. And so now New York. So it's like precise precision. But here's another thing: the day that the news came to America that the plague had come to the land. Now the first report was the day before. Then it went out. Then it went to then the next day it was headlines all over America that the plague had come. There was a date next to the headline. The date was January 22nd, which was the same day that America legalized abortion. Let me go further. Remember, Larry, what New York did a year ago? It was the one that passed that gruesome law that said that, you know, now we can kill children up to the time of birth. They wouldn't admit it, but that's exactly what they did. So the very place, that was last year, and it was actually at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, the plague begins. And New York actually lit up the harbinger to celebrate it. They lit up that tower that's a harbinger of judgment in pink to celebrate the killing of babies. And so now it all comes back to New York. Let me go a little further here. Now this is like kind of mind-boggling. Okay, now Jeremiah, when he prophesied this, he said that in the place where they killed the children, it's the death is going to come back, and they're not going to even be able to handle the death. They won't be able to bury everything. In New York, there were so many people dying during the plague that they could not handle it. So they shipped them off to an island, the unclaimed people. And so what happened was, but Jeremiah, when he said that prophecy, he was saying it at the potter's gate. He was holding the potter's gate. It's linked to the potter's field. That's what where do they took him to the island and they buried them in the place that New York called Potter's Field. The very place that Jeremiah prophesied. I mean, it was named after it. And one of them, remember also, there's so much, sorry, but let me try my best to get it in. The other thing is that you know, Jeremiah, when he prophesied of this very thing, the plague that came on for the children, he said, that's when he cried out, where is the balm in Gilead? Is there no balm? Is there no healing from Gilead? You know, and because he was saying there's no healing for this. Well, America's been seeking for a cure. Finally, there was a company that came out with a cure. They said it was a cure, and the stock market went up 500 points. It wasn't so much, but it was a hope that America, the name of the company that produced the cure was called Gilead, the balm of Gilead. And one other thing, There's a jubilee, a mystery of jubilee. Every 50 years, you know, you have restoration, but 50 years is also if somebody took something, it's taken back from them. Well, America took life. When did abortion on demand begin? It didn't begin in 1973. It began in 1970. It became legal for the nation after, but it was first in the states in 1970 in New York. And so here is the jubilee of abortion. And what you took, life, was taken back. And the day that they approved it in New York, it was 2 days they voted. The first day was April 9th. The second was April 10th. When you go to now 2020, the peak of the plague in New York, they matched the days. It was April 9th and April 10th, exactly 50 years to the very day.
Wow. Well, we are just about out of time, but I want you to do a little spiel for our special offer. You do it so well. Tell our listeners about it.
I know you guys you'll get the Harbinger too, and this is, I'm just giving you a taste of it, what's happening now. But there's so much I could not put. I've got 3,000 pages of notes. I could not put it in the Harbinger 2. So the only place it's going to be is the Harbinger. It's the Harbinger 2 Uncensored, and that's a DVD album, eight one-hour DVDs with images. You're going to see things that are nowhere else in the world, nowhere else on Earth. You're going to see prophetic images before the things happen. Amazing, and it's going to be nowhere else. I believe you're going to be blown away. So it's the Harbinger 2 Uncensored, eight DVD album.
Amen. Well, friends, Jonathan Kahn will be back with us for one more show. Please be sure to tune in, invite a friend or two. Matthew, please come to the mic. Tell our listeners how they can get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the new book by Jonathan Kahn titled The Harbinger 2. You can have your own copy for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. And you can order this fascinating book anytime on our website at swrc.com. We also have the new 8-DVD set with the same title. This includes 8 hours of teaching by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. You can have a set of these 8 DVDs for a gift of $45. Better yet, get both the book and the DVDs for a gift of $65. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. And visit us online at swrc.com and place your order there. Here again is Pastor Larry.
It has been rightly said, quote, "Racism is not a skin problem, but a sin problem. All people in their sinful pride can find any number of reasons to exalt themselves and subjugate others. No matter where you travel in the world, Malaysia, England, Africa, New Zealand, racism lifts its ugly head in various forms. The charge of racism has become a useful political tool to produce a new racism, racism against whites. Racism, no matter who practices it, is wrong. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. hoped for a world in which people would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. King would be very unhappy with the modern claim that a certain skin color matters. Once again, racism is not about skin, but about sin."
The biblical worldview not only explains the origin of racism, but also why it's fundamentally depraved. The Bible teaches that all people descend from one man and one woman, and that they are all one blood. This means that every person who has ever lived traces their family tree back to Adam and Eve, is made in God's image, is equal in values and worth, and that only one biological race exists, the human race. Racism, in any form, rejects the equality of every person assigned by the Creator Himself.
We must never forget that if evolution were true, it would be impossible to coherently argue that racism is wrong. In the evolutionary worldview, it's logically expected that some people would be more evolved than others. Now, that's exactly what Darwin concluded in his book, The Descent of Man, when he wrote, quote, "At some future period, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world." Close quote.
In Darwin's mind, the more advanced so-called civilized races, as he called them, were Caucasians, and the so-called savage races, to quote Darwin, were those of darker skin. Also, if evolution is true and God doesn't exist, then morality is relative and people are just animals. Why not arbitrarily hate, oppress, or kill a group of people, especially if it increases your survival value and provides cheap labor? And indeed, that's exactly what Hitler did in his alignment with evolution and eugenics. We must stress the fact that no one can say that Hitler was wrong without an appeal to God's word, which is the absolute standard for right and wrong.
Though it will never be admitted by the Democratic Party, which is running on a purposefully secular platform, there is only one real solution for racism: the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible alone establishes the equality of all people and demands impartial love for all. Unfortunately, a party with a secular platform will never arrive at that truth.
The following is based on an article found on the internet, but needs serious consideration. It's only a mask. I don't mind if it keeps me safe. It's just a mask. In a few more months, it will be, I don't mind taking the vaccine. It's for the greater good. In about 5 months, government edicts have taken away many of our freedoms and turned us into obedient mask wearers versus selfish people that refuse to wear masks. But it's just a mask, you guys. It's for the greater good. In 5 months, our government has dictated what events are acceptable versus unacceptable to attend. Riots are okay, but church and family funerals are not. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard, but feel free to line up at Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, and the liquor store. In that same 5 months, our government successfully facilitated the closing of family-owned businesses while granting authority to large favored corporations that they have invested interests in. It's just a mask and safety precaution, you guys. Oh, here's a measly $1,200 that we stole from you in the first place. Enjoy. See how easy it is to become dependent on the state to take care of you? That's how socialism works. See how well it works? In 5 months, a bogus coin shortage that COVID-19 supposedly caused has helped our government move us closer to a cashless society. So be sure to use your credit cards or exact change. In 5 months, our government closed down public schools under the guise of public safety because health matters when it comes to a government-sponsored virus. The great experiment has worked well. We have willingly sacrificed our freedoms out of a fear for our safety, created by a government that suddenly has power it could never have gotten by law or war. Here, America, give us your freedoms, and we'll make it all better. It's just a mask and 6-foot social distancing, you guys. We're scared to death of catching something from the guy next to us, but we're not afraid of the people in power who are responsible for the removal of our freedoms. Take time to research the long list of other viruses that could affect us. But since the MSM doesn't talk about them, we blindly follow, not questioning authority as long as they promise hope if we do what they tell us. What is most scary? As soon as the magic vaccine appears, most of we, the sheeple, will obediently get in line to take it, even though it will not have undergone rigorous testing to prove its worth. Like the masks that have little or no carefully tested proven value, we will take the vaccine for the greater good. Oh, you don't want the vaccine? That's okay. Wait until you're told that you cannot enter a store without proof of the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait until you cannot go to public events or travel without proof of having received this vaccine. 5 months ago, you never dreamed you would be in lockstep with a plan that sounds like it's right out of the biblical tribulation. First a mask, then a vaccine, then someday future, the mark of the beast. Before you declare me crazy, stop and think that our government just successfully dictated to people when they were allowed to be outside, where they were allowed to go, and how their children would be educated in just 5 months, and that a majority of the population followed blindly and gladly because they were told to do so. Think about where we may be in the next 5 months.
We would like to tell you of Our My People initiative. Between now and the presidential election in November, we want to challenge you to do two things. Register to vote if you are not yet registered, and number two, remember 2 Chronicles 7:14 and put it into practice in your life. The My People initiative is to encourage you to be involved in prayer and action. If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Just think of what is happening in our country. In one recent week, more than 60 emergency calls to police went unheeded in Portland, Oregon, as officers were preoccupied with the hundreds of demonstrators downtown and were pelted with rocks and bottles. Millions of dollars in property has been damaged and looted. Thousands of people have been hurt, and several have been killed.
I know, it's unbelievable, tragic. So what does presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his running mate Senator Kamala Harris say they will do about it? What plan do they have to deal with it? No one knows, because they have remained silent. Their only answer is to blame the rioting and looting on President Trump. Allegedly, he is the one responsible for police brutality.
It is very clear where the Democratic mayors and governors stand. They have refused to act. In many cases, they have allowed criminals to take over large parts of their cities. They are more concerned with the woke crowd than with hardworking Americans. This is not right. Please, friends, remember the My People Initiative.
Yes, pray. Tell your friends about it. Tell your pastor about it. Let's all join the My People Initiative. That text from 2 Chronicles addressed to God's people, you and me. If My people, which are called by My name, America is on the edge of disaster. You will not want to live in America if the Dems win in November.
Does an ancient mystery hold a secret to the events of our times and the future of America and the world? Find out when you order our special offer today by Jonathan Kahn, titled The Harbinger 2. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. And our website is swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.